Prunella Scales is Sarah France in After Henry by Simon Brett, with Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, and Jerry Cowper as Claire. The Spectre at the Feast.
I'm off out now.
I'm honoured to be told, Claire. I thought now you had your own flat, you came and went as you pleased.
I do.
Mind you, we're always glad to know where you're going, aren't we, Sarah? Then we know where to worry about your not having come back from.
Thank you, Granny.
Are you going out wearing that blouse?
Yes. What's wrong with it?
Well, of course, dear, white lace is always very nice, but, well, the cut is rather... In my young day, you know, a girl liked to leave something to the imagination.
Yes, but in your young day, imaginations were that much more inventive. Men could get steamed up for months over a glimpse of ankle. Nowadays, you can go to a disco stark naked and not stir a flicker of interest.
Can you, dear? How do you know?
Granny, look, I just dropped in to say that if Gary rings...
Gary with the pink hair and the piece of scrap metal in his ear?
Yes. Mummy, could you tell him that we'll be going down to the Red Lion for a drink? Oh, if we're not there, we'll have moved on to the White Horse. If we're not in the White Horse, we'll probably have gone on to Gemma's party. But if that's a drag, Wayne and Paul are giving one, so we might be there. And if we're not at any of those, probably be in the Curry Queen.
Ah.
Have you got that?
Well, I'm afraid I got lost around the White Horse.
It's all right, Claire, I've got it. Either Gemma's, or Wayne and Paula's, or the Curry Queen.
That's it. He may not ring, actually. He'll only call if he's at a loose end. I'll expect he'll find something lively has turned up.
Your evening sounds fairly lively to me.
Be a complete drag. I don't want to go out at all.
Where are you going?
Well, you can't sit in on a Saturday night, can you?
It has been done.
I'll see you lunchtime tomorrow.
Yes, I'm glad you've got back into the habit of having Sunday lunch together.
Well, it's a dead day Sunday. Nothing else happens, does it?
No, Claire.
Bye.
You know, I do sometimes wonder whether...
Claire is fine, Mother.
Yes. Yes, of course. Far be it from me to interfere.
Far, remember our discussion yesterday when we all resolved to respect each other's privacy?
Yes, of course. I hadn't forgotten. So, you're staying in this evening?
Yes.
Ernest Moore's coming round to my flat for a spot of supper later.
So you said.
You'd be welcome to drop in. You needn't worry that you'd be interrupting anything.
It never occurred to me that I would be.
And what, may I ask, do you mean by that?
Nothing. No, I mean, I didn't... Absolutely nothing.
Good. I'll have you know, a couple of months back, I might have been very chary of inviting you, but Ernest and I have had a long talk and decided that our relationship works better on a platonic level.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
So, as I say, you would be most welcome to drop by.
Well, no, it's very sweet of you, but no, I'll be fine here, thank you.
What will you do?
Oh, I don't know. Dare say there's something on the television.
Saturday evening, I doubt it.
There'll be a movie. So long as it doesn't say first showing on British television, I'll be fine. Pass the paper.
What's wrong with first showing on British television?
Usually means it's something incomprehensibly American that never got released over here and was thrown in with a job lot of movies they bought from the States.
Ah.
Oh, dear. The Awakening Search.
That's the title?
Hmm. A young baseball star at a Midwestern university is amused by the hero worship of a girl student crippled by polio. When he is paralyzed after a car crash, the balance of their relationship changes. I see, no. Apart from anything else, the fatal words are there.
First showing on...
Yes.
Well, as I say, if you'd like to join Ernest and me...
No. I'm always complaining I don't get any time to read all the books Russell lends me. Here's my golden opportunity.
Well, if you're sure...
Yes, I'll be just fine with...
Oh. Now... This could be somebody inviting you out for the evening.
Oh, yes, I don't think. Now, they were starting at the Red Lion, weren't they? Hello? 74923? Moira! Hello? Yes, it has been a long time. Lovely to hear you. You're well, I hope? Oh, good. And Frank? Great. Oh, yes, I'd love to. No, it'd be super. Talk about old times. Well, shall I get my diary? Oh, tonight. Tonight. Look, I'm sorry, Maura, I've got something on. Yes. Yes, it would have been lovely. Yes. Another time. Will you give me a call? Yes. Love to Frank. Yes, we will. Bye.
So, you've got something on tonight, have you?
Yes.
The awakening search.
Nothing better comes up, yes.
Was there somebody you didn't like?
No. Moira and Frank Osborne get on very well. Used to see a lot of them when Henry was alive.
Then you didn't fancy what they were inviting you for?
No. Dinner with the Wilsons, who I like a lot, and Moira's a terrific cook. No, it would have been a good evening.
Then why on earth... You haven't got anything on this evening. Oh, dear, you can't afford it, Sarah.
What do you mean?
I mean that now you're a widow, you can't afford pride.
Well, I'm getting sick of it, Russell. I'm the same person as I was before Henry died, but now, just because I've got the tag widow hanging round my neck, I'm expected to adapt to a completely different way of life.
Oh, think yourself lucky you get the chance. In some countries, you'd have to immolate yourself on Henry's funeral pyre.
At times, I can see the advantages of that. At least then, you don't have to worry about not being invited to dinner parties.
True.
Or worry about how pathetic it is to be worrying about something as pathetic as not being invited to dinner parties.
Yes.
Or worry about being treated like a spectre at the feast when you are invited to dinner parties. You know, what's really humbling about it is to discover how little one signifies on one's own, as a woman. I mean, everyone used to invite out Henry and Sarah, and I assumed, with what in retrospect looks like arrogance, that our appeal was equal. 50% Henry, 50% me. Well, I'm afraid I got the proportions horribly wrong. Take Henry away and see how many people want to invite Sarah on her own. Of course, if I was a widower, I'd be fine. Everyone wants a spare man. But a spare woman over 40, huh, you can't give one away with soup.
Yeah, well, that's only true if you still think in terms of married couples types of entertaining. If you've got men and women matched up in some sort of social square dance, then of course it looks odd when there's one without a partner.
But so much of entertaining is like that. Do-si-do, thank you very much, pass on to the couple next door.
Well, it needn't be. What married couples never seem to realise is that their way is not the only way. Lots of people just don't fit into the square dance.
Sure, but...
Bob and me, for instance. We always throw out the careful planning of dinner party hostess because, very thoughtlessly, we happen to be of the same sex. Wreaks havoc with the seating plans. So we just don't get invited to that sort of dinner party. There's a world elsewhere, Sarah. You've just got to think outside the limits of the sort of social life you've had with Henry.
What, do all the things recommended in smug little books on how to cope with widowhood? Join clubs, join church groups, offer my services as prompter for the local amateur dramatic society, take up evening classes in basket work?
Oh, yes, if necessary, yes. Your mother was right, Sarah. You must develop a bit of humility if you're going to rebuild your social life.
But why should I have to rebuild it? That's what makes me so bloody angry. I'm not just going to give in, do the little widow things. Somehow I am going to get back to a normal social life.
I think you're prejudging the issue by using that word, Sarah.
Normal? Well, I'm afraid that's still the way it feels. Being widowed feels abnormal. Suddenly you're a social misfit. And you'll find if you're not careful, you're spending all your time with other misfits. Other widows, single people, lonely people, people much older than you, divorcees and...
Gays?
I didn't say that.
No, you didn't say it.
Oh, Mummy, there you are. I thought I heard you come in.
Yes.
You're late.
Claire, I thought we were going to respect each other's privacy.
Sorry, didn't mean to pry.
Nothing to pry about as it happens. I just had to smooth a few ruffled feathers.
Russell?
Yes. I took him for a drink after we closed. I had just, without thinking, been incredibly tactless to him. I don't know. I seem to have an unerring ability to antagonise everyone at the moment.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, wouldn't you?
No, I don't think you're any worse at the moment than usual.
You are a comfort to me, Claire. To what do I owe the pleasure of your visit?
Oh, there was a phone message for you from Wendy Sweeten.
Oh, how nice. I haven't heard from her for ages.
Inviting you for dinner.
When, tonight?
No.
Tomorrow?
No, a week on Saturday.
Oh, but that's about the right time in advance to invite someone for dinner.
Yes.
Nearly a fortnight away.
Yes, Mummy, what are you on about?
Nothing. I was just thinking... I mean, I haven't heard from Wendy and Brown for... Oh, must be more than a year.
No, that's what Wendy said.
I see. So suddenly pity and social conscience stirred, and they magnanimously decided to invite the little widow woman out.
They've been in Spain for the last year. Brian got posted to Madrid.
Oh. So they just invited me for no reason?
Well, presumably because they want to see you.
Yes, I suppose that's possible.
Mummy, why are you always looking for an ulterior motive in everything?
I'm not, it just... I bet they've invited somebody chronically difficult and don't want to waste any of their real friends on him.
Mummy, for heaven's sake, they've invited the Wilsons.
Oh, I like them.
The Brownlows.
I like them, too.
And some other man they said you didn't know.
Who is he?
His name's Chris Wellington.
Oh, no, he'll probably be some incredibly boring diplomat Brown knows through work. He'll be rabidly right-wing, have an awful professional wife with perfect teeth and a meaningless smile. He'll probably have hairs growing out of his ears and nostrils.
Mummy, be quiet and listen. Wendy said he's terribly nice.
Oh.
Very lively and amusing.
Ah.
He's a widower.
Oh, no, I get it.
Get what?
The ulterior motive. Put all the freaks in the same cage. It'll be worse than if he was just a bore.
What do you mean?
Well, don't you see what Wendy's doing?
No.
She's matchmaking. Huh. That's all I need.
Put the kettle on, Sarah. Sit down and I'll tell you everything.
What?
Do as I say. Put the kettle on.
Oh, what is this?
I found out all about him.
Who?
This Chris Wellington, of course.
Mother, what the hell have you been doing?
There's no need to take that tone with me, Sarah. I've just been doing a bit of research for you, saving you the trouble.
And did you stop to ask yourself whether or not I might want any research done?
Well, obviously, dear, if you're being paired off with this man, then
I am not being paired off with anyone, and I am sick to death of your constant invasions of my privacy.
But, Sarah...
Quiet, Mother.
But when you hear what I found out about him...
It couldn't interest me less.
I got it from Valerie Brown on the pension counter's sister, Mary. She knows all about him because her cousin, Deirdre, cleans
for him. Mother, haven't I yet made it clear that I do not wish to hear your geriatric gossip?
Well, I just thought you might like to know about him.
Then you were wrong, weren't you?
But when you hear about the job he does...
Don't you understand? The pleasure of meeting new people should be finding out about them, talking to them, letting information come out in the course of conversation. One of the many things that irks me about living in a small country town is that that never happens. Every new person who appears on the social scene has been so processed and shredded by the gossip machine that when you finally do meet them, you've got nothing left to talk about.
Well, I always think there's something nice about knowing people's background.
Well, I don't. I like to keep a few surprises in life. Have you got that?
Yes, dear.
You are welcome to come down here to have a cup of tea, but can we please keep the conversation away from fatuous conjectures about my private life?
Yes, Sarah. Of course, Sarah.
What does he do then?
What does who do, dear?
This Chris Wellington person.
Ah, well, now, this is interesting. Valerie Brown, on the pension counter's sister Mary's cousin Deirdre, only gave me a few hints. But it seems that he works for Shell, quite high up, head of a department or something. And most of the week he lives in a flat in the Barbican. But he's got this cottage down here, and he's gradually, over the next few years, going to be moving his base down here and spending more time in the cottage and less in the flat. His wife, whose name was Helen, died nearly 4 years ago of cancer, and he's got two grown-up children. The boy, that's Miles, has just started working for a merchant bank in the city, and the girl, who's called Joanna, is in the second year of a degree course in drama at Bristol University.
And you got that lot from a few hints?
Yes. I could probably find out a bit more.
No, Mother, no. I think that's quite sufficient. Short of his size in shirts and how many lumps of sugar he takes in his tea, I seem to know everything.
Apparently he's terribly nice. Very amusing and thoughtful. Terrific company.
Well, I'll be able to judge that for myself on Saturday, won't I?
Yes. Oh, I do hope something comes of this. I mean, since Henry died, you really have needed a man about to...
Mother, listen. On Saturday, I'm going out to dinner to meet a variety of friends I haven't seen for a long time. There will also be a man there who I haven't met before. I look forward to a pleasant evening. That's it. That's all. Got it?
Yes, dear. And you're not nervous about it?
No, I am not bloody nervous about it.
The kettle's boiled, Sarah, dear.
What's that one?
Old Pybus by Warwick Deeping.
Oh.
Worth anything?
No, I shouldn't think so. It's desperately unfashionable. There's nothing so dead as another generation's bestsellers. Let's have a look there. I suppose it might be worth something if it's a first. Dare say there's someone around who collects Warwick Deeping. Oh, no. Popular edition. No good.
What shall I do? Put it on the 10p table?
Yes, I suppose so. I can't think anyone will buy it, but at least I won't have to be responsible for throwing it away.
You never can do that with a book, can you?
Oh, no, against my religion. Well, tonight, is it? You're going to this dinner party?
Yes.
Should be fun.
Yes. Oh, it's pathetic, Russell, how nervous I feel. I mean, it's daft, only going out for dinner, for God's sake. Henry and I used to do that once or twice a week without thinking about it.
Well, it's not the first time you've been out to a dinner party since he died.
No, of course not. But you think you'd get used to going on your own, hardened to it. Doesn't seem to work that way. I seem to have less confidence each time rather than more.
It'll be fine.
Of course it will. And even if it isn't, it doesn't matter. I mean, what's the worst it can be? Boring. I can cope with that. I've coped with many boring situations in the past.
So, nothing to worry about.
No. Oh, it infuriates me. How I can recognise all this, recognise how little it really matters, and still get as twitchy as a teenager on our first date.
Is it the first date element that's making you twitchy?
What do you mean?
Well, this man, this Prince Charming who's been set up for you.
Hmm. Well, that certainly doesn't help. I don't know, it just seems so public. Three married couples and a man and a woman who haven't met. It'll be as if we both have great big signs over our heads saying, these two are supposed to get off together.
Well, you may like him or not.
Yes, or I may hate him. Whatever we think of each other, I don't think there's much chance of either of us behaving naturally. It'll be like a gladiatorial contest with every member of the crowd watching to see how we get on.
Ready to give you the thumbs up or the thumbs down?
Mm. Oh, God, I wish it was tomorrow.
Oh, Sarah, come on.
Yes. Just makes me so bloody cross to be reduced to a gibbering adolescent over nothing so corny. I'm degenerating into a walking cliché. Do you know, last night I even looked in my wardrobe and came to the conclusion that I hadn't got a thing to wear. All my sort of formal dresses look horribly dated, you know. Being just out of fashion is worse than being totally out of fashion.
The Warwick Deeping syndrome.
Yeah, right. Mm. Thing is, I don't think I can really afford to go out and buy something. And anyway, new dress always looks like a new dress, and that'd look as if I was treating this evening like it was a big deal.
Which, of course, you aren't.
No, no.
So, what are you going to wear?
I don't know. I've got this long blue skirt, which doesn't look too much like an archaeological exhibit, and I dress up... Oh, for heaven's sake, Russell, it doesn't matter!
No, 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 of course it doesn't.
Mummy.
Oh, hello, darling. Glad you haven't gone out.
No, but I'll be off in about half an hour, meeting Gary at the White Horse.
Claire, I wonder if I could borrow something.
Yes, of course. What, coffee or...?
No, Claire, I wonder... Could I possibly borrow...
Yes?
That white lace blouse of yours.
What? The white lace blouse with
Yes, the white lace blouse with the,
Can I? Yes, Mummy. Of course you can.
Mother, I'm just off now.
Just a minute.
No, don't bother to come down. I'll see you when...
I do just want to see how you look,
no, there's
dear.
No need, Mother.
Have you got your coat on? It's very mild this evening.
I thought it might get cooler later. Look,
well,
I must...
let me have a look at you. See the ensemble.
No, I think I'd better be off. It's getting late.
Sweetens are only 10 minutes away. Now, do it.
Mummy, I found that clasp I was talking about. One that goes with the white...
Thank you, darling. I won't need it. Look, I must be off.
But, Mummy...
Yeah, that's
you in the morning. Bye.
Claire... What's your mother wearing under that coat?
Oh, I lent her something of mine.
What?
A blouse.
Not the white lace blouse with the...
Yes, the white lace blouse with the...
Oh, dear.
What's the matter?
Just because your mother's a widow, there's no need for her to flaunt herself.
Thank you for driving me home, Chris.
Think nothing of it. Not out of my way.
You don't have to.
What?
Put your arm around me.
Oh.
I mean, if you don't want to, don't feel you have to. I know every cliché situation provides its own conventions, but you don't have to follow them.
No. What if I want to put my arm around you?
Well, put it round, by all means. What'll happen then is that I'll discreetly remove it and get out of the car in an atmosphere of slight embarrassment. I'd rather stay in the car and talk.
Sorry. Yes, I suppose I was being a victim of conventions. Oh, not just that, of course.
How gallant, thank you.
No, I mean, you are looking very good. You know, in that blouse...
Mm, the blouse was a gesture of confidence, misplaced, I'm afraid. Had the opposite effect of what was intended. As the evening progressed, I just felt more and more unsuitably dressed.
No, it was fine.
Not my usual style.
Difficult to maintain one's usual style at evenings like that.
Yes, it did all feel a bit artificial. I think maybe I've moved on a bit from that sort of dinner party.
Know what you mean. Nice people there.
Oh, yes, very nice. Very sensitive.
Yes. You know, I sometimes find people can be too bloody sensitive. I mean, about Helen. Okay, she died. And I was very upset. But that doesn't mean her name can't be spoken.
I get the same. Did you notice Henry wasn't mentioned all evening? It was as if he'd never existed. And those were all people who knew as well as a couple.
Yes. They mean to be kind, of course, as they tiptoe around you, careful not to touch any bit that might still be sore. It's as if you've got a huge label saying fragile stuck on your forehead.
Or as if you're suffering from an infectious disease.
In quarantine.
How long does that quarantine last?
I don't know. A long time. I'm nearly 4 years in and I still haven't been completely discharged.
Still, one shouldn't be ungrateful. People keep telling me that as a little widow woman I should pounce on any crumbs of invitations that come my way.
I wouldn't have thought you lacked for invitations.
Well, thanks, that's a nice thing to say. Inaccurate, but nice. Presumably when it comes to invitations you can't move for them. You are, after all, a spare man.
Oh, sure. Knowing a spare man is like owning a ladder long enough to reach the gutters. Everyone wants to borrow it sometime. Oh, yes, every dinner party where there's a younger sister who's just split up with her boyfriend, or a recent divorcee...
An embarrassing widow.
All right, yes. Anyway, any such situation and I get hauled along. God, it can be boring.
I'm sure, getting lumbered with life's walking wounded.
I didn't mean you. I'm just saying that with some of them it can be pretty boring trying to make conversation.
And equally boring having to drive them home.
Sometimes.
Boring making the statutory group.
Frequently, yes. But I suppose one needs sex.
Don't sound very convinced.
I'm not sure that I am. I find sex with someone I've only just met is a bit like something I have to do quite a lot at work. Make farewell speeches at the retirement parties of colleagues I don't know very well. An atmosphere of social unease and forced conviviality.
Do many of your dinner party pickups offer you conviviality?
I don't know about offer. A few succumb, I suppose.
With enthusiasm?
I'd say resignation was a more common reaction.
And then afterwards you present them with engraved barometers in recognition of 20 minutes loyal service. You do realise, don't you, Chris, that I'm not going to succumb tonight?
Yes, I realise. God, that's a relief.
Thank you.
Oh, I didn't mean...
I know what you meant. You meant, God, what a relief that it's possible for a man and a woman to get on together without feeling they have to be fencing each other.
Yes, that's exactly what I meant.
You know, it's one of the nicest insults I've ever been offered.
Sarah, dear.
Hmm?
I can't claim to be very keen on this idea of reading newspapers at Sunday lunch.
Ah.
It's a habit your mother's got from you, Claire.
Hmm?
Sarah, dear, we haven't talked about last night yet.
Oh, that's true. Respecting each other's privacy, remember?
Oh, of course, of course. It's not that I'm curious. I just do think it's nice for people to take an interest in what other members of their families do. Don't you?
Hmm? Oh, I see. Right. Did you have a pleasant evening with Ernest Moore?
Yes, thank you, dear. Very pleasant.
Good. Still keeping it all platonic?
Yes.
I'm sure you're very wise.
So, now you know all about my evening.
Yes, that's true.
It's only natural for a mother to be interested in what her daughter does. It's part of her maternal duty, really.
Yes, you're right. Claire, darling, did you have a good time last night?
Yes, thank you, Mummy.
Good.
Sarah, you're being deliberately obtuse. I want to know about Chris Wellington.
Ah.
Well?
He was very pleasant.
And?
And what?
Pleasant and?
And nicely mannered. I don't know. What do you want me to say?
I want to know what happened.
You know what happened. We were both invited to the Sweetens for dinner. We met, we talked, we had a pleasant evening.
And?
And Wendy sent you her love.
Oh. And Chris Wellington?
He didn't send you his love. He never met you.
Sarah, for goodness sake. Stop being facetious. Are you going to see him again?
No idea.
You mean he didn't invite you out?
No, Mother.
Oh. But it was a pleasant evening.
Yes, thank you. A very pleasant evening.
Oh. Oh, well. Good. And you're sure that...
Quite sure, Mother.
Oh.
Now, would anyone like some pudding? Thank you.
The Spectre at the Feast, you heard Prunella Scales as Sarah, Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, Jerry Cowper as Claire, and Mark Kingston as Chris. After Henry was written by Simon Brett and produced by Pete Atkin.